You're listening to the Student Leadership Programme Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Student Leadership Programme Podcast. Today I'm speaking with 150 Leaders alumna Leanne Patrick. Hi Leanne, how are you?
Hello, thank you for having me. It's really good to be here back in the 150 Leaders bubble again.
It's so great to have you joining us. Leanne, you were part of the first cohort of students back in 2017, and I think the programme has grown and developed since you were on it, but what a great opportunity it is today to be able to catch up and find out what you've been doing since the programme. I guess it might be a good idea to start why you initially applied to the Student Leadership Programme. What made you want to be part of this brand new programme for healthcare students?
I mean, I think it was a bit of a fluke, really, actually. I got an email one day when I was a brand new, fresh-faced, first-year student nurse, and he was essentially asking me about what would a good leadership programme look like, you know, if you were to kind of design one, what would be good, what would be useful, what would you find helpful? And I kind of remember answering this questionnaire, and then at the end of it, it said, would you like to be part of something like this? If so, let us know, and we might get back to you. And so I sent that away. Obviously, I said yes, and thought really no more of it until maybe a month or so later, I got an email saying, based on your reply, this is us getting in touch to say, we've got this program now. You can apply and sign up. And I was like, great, that sounds, you know, whatever, I'll try that. That sounds really interesting. And I think because I was a student rep at the time, I was pretty kind of invested in the whole thing and thinking about, I suppose, how frustrating sometimes it can be to see some of the things that could do to change, but that were so difficult to change. And it was so hard to make any headway with, you know, such basic seeming things for student support. And I thought maybe I could kind of join this and get an idea of how to be a better leader. And I can kind of get some tips and ideas. I can maybe start to move on some of those issues. So yeah, it was very much I could learn a lot from this, and I got involved and yeah, went from there. And we were quite, because it was quite new, I think there was quite a low number of applicants compared to kind of like subsequent cohorts when it's just gotten bigger and bigger. So I always think how lucky I was that I kind of just squeezed it in that first cohort, because everyone's so impressive coming through. I'm like, I'm not sure actually I would have made it in another cohort application round. So yeah, cohort one slid in there.
I'm sure you definitely would have made it in.
But I can't have to say that now.
You made it, at least that's the main thing.
All that matters.
What were your expectations, if you had any, of the program?
I mean, I genuinely at first had no idea. Like, I knew just even from the kind of intro that they were giving me about what could be involved, that it was going to be a good thing. You know, they were going to take me down to London. I was going to hear from all these speakers. They're going to put me up in a nice hotel. And I thought, this is great. Like, this is going to be a really great opportunity. And it, I think all those things of making the students feel important made it a success from the off for me, basically, because I was invested straight away. I thought, this is something that's really going to help me. You know, it was a really kind of serious, legitimate program, because I think students quite often get fobbed off with, you know, just come along to room 4C and we'll have a bit of a chat today about what does good leadership look like, or, you know, it might be a bit vague. But this was like a program that they would roll out for any other member of healthcare staff, I guess. We were treated that level straight from the get-go. And I thought, this is great. This is genuinely a really good, robust program. And I'm not sure exactly what I'll get out of it, but I knew that I was going to learn something from it. So I was just keen on that, I think, you know, the what I could take away from it and what I could apply to, I suppose, my day-to-day work in the role of student rep at the time. How I could do that better, and like I say, start to move on some of the issues that were bugging me, I think.
What actually was your experience? Because I we've discussed that I actually wasn't around when Leanne was on the programme. So, you know, what were your highlights? What did you take away?
I think it was very similar in a lot of ways. You know, the kind of core elements are similar to what it looks like now. You know, it was the initial introductory couple of days in Birmingham, where we all kind of got together as first cohort, and they took us to some building that was like 3 million miles off the ground. It was like, it was a really great experience, and we learned so much from so many people, but it was so high off the ground and all the like walls were made out of glass and everyone was a little bit terrified. So a few people like had to leave early because they just couldn't handle it anymore. So I don't think they've done that again since then, just because of the fear of heights. And I remember Nigel having to kind of like talk some of the students through like having some kind of, you know, like anxiety response to being up so high off the ground, which is probably like one of the big memories of the first day. But I also remember hearing from, you know, so many really inspirational people like Nigel in healthcare and in healthcare academia and nursing and the allied health professions. And I remember there's one lady, and you know, I forget her name, which I really, yeah, it's a shame because she was probably one of the most inspiring people on the program that I heard from, talking about, you know, the mid-staffs inquiry and her kind of role at the time of overseeing some of the managerial aspects and the shame that comes with that and how you learn from that. And the whole talk was really about how good people sometimes end up doing bad things without, you know, due to the culture, due to the difficult kind of interactions of, I suppose, you know, the expectations of policy upon managers and how that filters down and how it creates this kind of mess that nobody really intends and what that kind of looks like once it starts to reach patients. So it was really interesting because I think that was probably something I wouldn't have learned in my course about just where things went wrong in one of the kind of biggest healthcare scandals that we've had and what people had learned from that and how to avoid something like that. And so those were really huge lessons that I think took me way beyond anything I was doing as a student rep. Could I take this learning beyond what was happening day to day in my student rep role? Any changes I wanted to make in healthcare, just way beyond the kind of student perspective. It really got me thinking quite big about what I could achieve on a bigger scale, which was really inspiring. And I think a lot of people felt that way.
So what have been your key takeaways since being on the programme? Kind of what have you been doing as a result? Because you've been talking about your student rep role, but actually, you know, that was already there before you applied. So what happened after?
There were lots of different kind of takeaways from the programme, because obviously there was more than that initial day of being up off the ground and listening to inspiring people. You know, we got a mentor, we got to kind of learn from them. And I was really, really lucky. I got Jackie Lunday-Johnston, who was the Chief Allied Health Professions Officer for the Scottish Government. So I was totally blown away by this. We got to kind of like rate in order of what we would like most in terms of who we would like to be mentored by, whether it was somebody from government, somebody from, you know, academia, from healthcare. So I kind of went government for the top, thinking, great. You know, I'm quite interested in moving on policy issues. I was really interested in all of that and expected nothing. So to get somebody like Jackie was, you know, just, I was totally blown away. And she was great. She was unwell and she wasn't in her role for quite a chunk of the time that she was my mentor, but the interactions that I got with her were so kind of helpful. And there are things that I've taken from that just into the kind of role that I'm doing even today, which I'll kind of chat a bit about in a minute. But yeah, there were so many different aspects of that I've kind of taken away that have been, you know, like I say, beyond that first sort of day. And yeah, kind of moving on into my actual career as well, I think one of the biggest takeaways has been that kind of sense of this is bigger than being a student, actually. What can I learn from this? And what can I take forward? And yeah, the biggest thing for me has been about not kind of waiting for permission to do things, you know, taking action and, you know, reaching out to people. People are much more willing to collaborate with you than you think. You know, they're really keen to hear from you and work with people. And just having that confidence, I think, to realize that there's so much more possible than I think I'd imagined when I started being a student nurse. And you just have to kind of go out there and create it for yourself. And I think that's probably one of the big things of the program is, and probably something we'll talk about a bit further on in the podcast, just, yeah, what you can kind of make of the program. So I'm waffling a wee bit now, but yeah. So I think, you know, I've taken away quite a lot from it. I've started up different projects with that kind of foundation of confidence that an inspiration, I suppose, that the program gave me about the people who went out there and made the most difference, just kind of went out there and did it. That kind of old adage of just kind of do it and then ask for forgiveness rather than permission. And so I've just kind of run with that, actually. And actually, some of the most inspiring people that I spoke to were a bit rebellious. You know, they were always kind of on the kind of edges of getting themselves into a bit of trouble. Some of the people from the program who were kind of talking about their career journeys. And I kind of liked that. I admired that, because that always seemed to me where the biggest changes were made and the most bravery was seen. And we know in health and social care that so much, you know, does need to change, and that there's so much room for change, but it's never as easy, just like when I was a student rep, to actually move on that change. So yeah, I was really inspired by them. So I've tried to take that kind of bravery forward, and we started We Student Nurses back when I was a student, which kind of just involved me going up to Tree from We Nurses and saying, hey, how about a We Student Nurses account? And she was like, sure, okay, let's think about it. You know, like, just being really cheeky, I think.
Actually, you know, there was a lot more work than just saying,
well, yeah.
Hey, can we do this? Yeah, that's fine. I know there was a lot of work behind the scenes to make that happen.
Yeah,
Don't play down all the work that you and Hannah did behind the scenes on that.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's obviously a lot of work that went into it, but that initial actually making it a possibility and a reality, it all starts with that spark of just ask people. Just, you've got nothing to lose by asking people. Do they want to try something or collaborate on something, or what do they think of this or that? And I've just always run with that. And yeah, I love my time with We Student Nurses. I mean, they're doing so good now, you know, and it's kind of been founded on a really great ethos of leadership. I think that I kind of refined and came to believe in as part of the 150 program, I guess, of just leading on projects, I suppose, rather than leading people. Because what we always did in We Student Nurses, whether there was two of us or 20 of us kind of in the team, was a lot of shared decision making, a lot of equal say in what we thought was the best thing moving forward. Nobody was, you know, I think we had one kind of, for each kind of cohort of We Student Nurses that come through, we do have somebody who kind of pushes it forward, who kind of leads in a way, but it's really just leading the project rather than the people, because the say across the board is very equal. And so I really liked that about We Student Nurses, and they continue to go from strength to strength. I think they're at like 14, maybe 15,000 followers now, and just, yeah, just amazing. It's so good to see that, you know, when you pass that on to other people, they'll take up that kind of torch of enthusiasm, and it's, you know, changed hands a few times now in terms of the cohorts and who kind of drives that stuff forward. So yeah, I'm definitely proud of that. That's one of the good achievements, I think, that I remember as a student. And I know that Tree of We Nurses as well, is, she tends to take quite a neutral view on a lot of things. She's more interested in kind of consensus from nurses on what do you think about things, and the kind of tweet chats that she runs are about kind of shared learning and not alienating people. But I think everything I kind of touch tends to be a little bit rebellious, you know, those kind of rebellious edges that I was talking about earlier. So it was always a little bit political with the We Student Nurses, and a few of the things that we did were kind of born of that ideology of trying to drive change forward and be a voice for students, like the Student Nurse Mental Health Day. That was one of the big ones.
I wonder if this links to kind of what you were saying earlier about your mental being based in government, and whether kind of a future career in policy and in government is there for you. Is that something you'd still be interested in?
You know, I never really think about the future too far. You know, I never anticipated to be in the role that I am now. And I think the reason that I'm where I am now is just by kind of going with the flow. You know, my first role was working in substance misuse. And I went into that just because I had a great placement in substance misuse. I really loved it. And it was an area that I felt I could do a lot of good. I felt, and I think that's probably what guides me a lot of the time, actually, is that sense of a lot could be better here. And it seems like it wouldn't be too difficult to make it better, whether or not that's true, you know, once I actually get into it. And then I start to see all these, you know, immovable forces again. But I go into something and think, oh, this could be great, actually. If we get this right, this could be really good and we could change people's lives. So I go in with that kind of naivety each time, and that kind of guides me, I guess. And so where I am now as a gender-based violence nurse was kind of, you know, inspired by that same kind of, okay, things could be a lot better for women and girls, and here's an opportunity to get involved in doing that. And one aspect of the role that I'm in now is, to a degree, some policy kind of work. So local policy, even, you know, looking at how do we deliver on our national and global strategies. So United Nations, Sustainable Development Goals, how that filters down into Scotland's national Equally Safe strategy, and then how do we kind of implement that at a local level. And I really enjoy looking at all of that stuff. And I think some of the things that I learned from Jackie about how to sell change to people and how to kind of get certain policies through have been really, you know, helpful in terms of what people want to see and what's going to be a good selling point for them and how you can kind of drive those ideas through. It's much easier, I think, to do things bit by bit, I've learned anyway, than to come in with these big ideas and let's shake it all up and change it all now. You know, that's never possible. The most sustainable and feasible thing is to kind of do things bit by bit, and policy is a great place to start. And that's probably partly why I did my master's in the last year as a newly qualified nurse as well in social research. Not, I don't think, because I'm ever planning to really go into academia, but I really wanted to get that solid understanding of social policy work that was kind of offered in the master's and how I could really use that evidence and understanding of evidence for quality improvement and also to kind of implement the best, most evidence-based practice into any service that I'd be working in.
You've done so much in such a short period of time. What I want to know is, how do you manage to do all of it in such a short period of time? You know, I never understood how you were able to manage and juggle all those things. And I know you mentioned about kind of saying yes and taking on these opportunities, but actually, do you manage to get time for yourself? I know you've also got a family, to balancing all of it at the same time must be, I don't know how you do it.
You know, you're not the first person to say that, and I'm always surprised because in my mind it doesn't take up as much time as I think it sounds like. I always make sure to, well, these days anyway, as a student I was like, yes, I want to do all of these things, because I was so scared that they would stop asking me if I didn't say yes. But with time I kind of learned that actually people are keen to get bits of you anytime you're willing to give any kind of help and support, basically, so that's never going to dry up. So I've been more kind of selective about what it is that I want to get involved in and where I want to spend my time. And I think I get a lot of energy, and I've heard other people say this before, get energy from being involved in things that feel like they're making a difference, especially when you work in roles that are slower to see that kind of change. So it's good to be involved in those kinds of projects, and it makes the rest of it feel possible and achievable too. It keeps that spark of inspiration going. So yeah, it's quite energizing in its own way. I know it takes time, but if you feel like you're achieving things with it and you enjoy it, then it's almost like a hobby, I guess, some of it. You know, I'm realistic as well in terms of I like to spend time with my family and children at the weekends, and I tend to keep my weekends pretty clear now. I tend to work just in the evenings if I'm doing anything extra on top. Definitely doing a master's and trying to do that in 1 year whilst working as a newly qualified nurse, which I did part-time as well. I wasn't just kind of let's full-time everything and see what happens. Doing that was much more intense than I expected. I definitely kind of arrogantly waded into that thinking, it's a year, you know, how hard can it be? We'll just get through that year. Because I just had 3 years of nursing, and much as I wanted to kind of do this, I knew I didn't want to wait 5 years to do it. I wanted to kind of get it done. I wanted to know this stuff now, start being able to work at that level and get those changes through now. And I didn't want to drag it out over 2 or 3 years as well of more learning and kind of essays and assignments. But wow, what a year. And I certainly didn't anticipate that we would have, you know, a pandemic on top of that and children to homeschool. So horribly, horribly stressful in the end. I definitely wouldn't recommend doing that. That certainly ate into a lot of my time when I really probably needed to be more kind of present here at points, especially with school and whatnot. Luckily, I have a wonderful husband who works from home and has somehow managed to kind of juggle homeschooling the kids and doing his job, especially while I was at work, you know, in the patient-facing role in my last job. You know, I do more kind of days from home now, which kind of helps with a bit of the juggling here and there. But yeah, definitely leaned on him. So I guess I owe him at some point in the future if he's got some kind of big dream or project. But yeah, that was definitely hard. But for the other stuff, you know, as long as you keep a decent balance with keeping some time free for yourself and making sure that what you choose is worth your time in a way. That sounds a bit arrogant, I suppose, but it's true. You know, don't people will take and take and take, so you have to kind of draw a line somewhere.
That's really good advice. I wonder if you have any other particular advice that you'd offer to our current cohort of students and also future students.
That is a good question. I think probably my best piece of advice is, you know, I saw very variable results for people from the student leadership program, and I think that is going to happen every year regardless. But for me, sometimes the common denominator was how much a person was willing to put into the program. You know, this opportunity is kind of given to you, and it's not going to just, you know, bring you to the place that you want to be comfortably. You kind of have to put back in what you're getting out, I suppose. Or if you want to see those results, you have to put in the work. And so for me, that was taking the advice and making it happen. And, you know, don't expect that it will be easy. There'll certainly be challenges. It's just a great opportunity, and you should take it with two hands and run with it, because you don't get opportunities like this often where people will just hand you that kind of support and advice and information and networking and mentorship. You do have to kind of go out there and get it at any other time. So take as much of that as you can, and use that to kind of go out and do other things with it and kind of sow the seeds of what comes next for you, because it's just been great. You know, I've met so many great people. I made great friends. You know, I met people working in academia who I still speak with and collaborate on projects with to this day. I know Robin Iron, you know, he was really, really supportive of the program and students, and he continues to be really supportive of students. And I think there are so many people like him who are super keen to work with students and support them. So yeah, grab it with both hands and find people like that, and just go out there and do as much as you can with it in the time that you've got as a student. I could talk about this program, honestly, all day. It was easily the best experience that I had as a student. It changed the course of my kind of nursing degree, definitely. I came in and I wanted to get involved in being a student rep. I already had kind of had that mindset of wanting to change and do things. It just gave me the tools to see how that would be possible and the confidence to go out and actually really do it in the way that I kind of envisioned would be more difficult than it is from a sense of approaching people and approaching the problems. Maybe not, you know, I maybe still find myself frustrated about how difficult it can be to make those kinds of changes and drive those changes through. But actually getting involved in problem solving kind of situations and projects is much easier than I ever imagined. And that's all thanks to kind of the inspiration from the program and learning about how to go out and do that.
I know you've said that you're not keen on looking too far ahead in the future. So I ask you, you know, it's been 4 years-ish since you've been on the program. What right. do you see yourself doing in the next 4 years?
You know, that changes all the time for me. Like, I think there was a time when I thought, you know, I could see myself working in academia, maybe looking at, because I'm quite interested in the kind of policy angle, how we can kind of get changes to filter down into everyday practice. And I like the kind of academic angle of generating the evidence base that would inform that policy. The longer that I spend in practice, the more I just enjoy being with people and learning from that, being around people, about whether or not that policy is effective or the evidence base is as extensive as it could be, if there's more that we need to know. And I think there was a period of time when I thought about being a clinical academic as well, where I was like, okay, maybe I could split my time between learning about what needs to change and then researching about how to, you know, about that change and what's needed and how to achieve it, and then trying to kind of pull those two things together. But I don't know. So yeah, I haven't given a great straight answer about where I see myself. Maybe not academia. And then beyond that, I see myself staying in practice at whatever level, I guess, at least staying based in patient care to some degree, whether that's, you know, management level kind of influence over that. I think there's definitely scope for people who often tend to kind of branch out and go into academia to stay and utilize, like I've kind of learned from my master's, the evidence base to inform the changes that are being made and the decisions that are being made day to day, and to kind of channel that good evidence in that's being generated elsewhere.
I think it's often hard to know what you want to do or where you see yourself going, and opportunities will come knocking at your door. I don't think you need to be worried.
I think that's the other thing as well, you know, who knows what will kind of come along. I definitely didn't even know about the job that I have now until I kind of saw it advertised. So who knows what I might see and think, that's where I see myself now. That's where I can definitely see myself making some changes now, you know. And I quite like that. It keeps life exciting, I think, you know, not having this big kind of defined plan, because it never goes to plan. And if you're always kind of open to these opportunities, then it makes it easier to kind of move on to a different job, because you can kind of get comfortable in a role sometimes when you feel like, well, you know, I'm good at this and I know these people and I've been here for a while. If you always see yourself as open to opportunities, I think you're more likely to actually go for them.
That's really good advice, actually, to end on. Leanne, thank you so much for joining us. I've absolutely loved talking to you today, and I've learned a lot about kind of what your journey has been so far, and I know that the journey will continue for you, and I look forward to seeing all the exciting places and roles you take up in the next 4 years and 40 years. It'll be, you know, it's going to be really exciting for you, and I know, because you take everything seriously and with great responsibility, and your leadership already has been outstanding. So
thank you.
I have no concerns about you. You are going to do great things, I know.
Thanks very much. No, it's been really good to come back. It's been good to just talk about it again. You know, I almost miss it. I don't miss being a student, but I do love the program. So, you know, anytime you want to hear from me in the future, just hit me up and I'm there.
Absolutely. We will call you day and night.
Absolutely. Do. You've got my number.
Leanne, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for listening to the Student Leadership Programme podcast. For more information, visit www.councilofdeans.org.uk/studentleadership.